I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, say amen once more.
Amen.
All right, let's continue our teaching today. Today should be the roundoff of our series we've been having titled Power with God. Let's begin today by reading from the book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. I'm going to read two scriptures to start. First from the book of John. Then I'll read one verse. Maybe I should just refer to it so we don't waste time. From 1 Corinthians. But from the book of John chapter 3, can you just look into your Bibles? Let's read from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him, that is to Jesus, by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. How do we know that? We know that because no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, therefore, he said, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And the Lord answered in verse 5, he said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, let's just stop there. Quickly open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to just read one verse here. That's verse 11. Paul said, When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. That is, I thought, I spoke, and I reasoned as a child. He said, When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Now, that's just the verse I want to read there. There was a season, he said, in which I was small. Therefore, I behaved like somebody who was small. But a season comes in which a man grows and attains to maturity. And then he puts away the things that have to do with childhood. Now, I said something when we began to do this series, Power with God. I said, I have children. I have a number of them. I have a small boy who's less than 2 years of age. And I have a boy that's older than that. He's over 6 years of age. I can allow the older boy to carry things that are maybe like glass. All right? Delicate. I can actually give him my car keys, tell him to open the door of the car and bring something for me from inside. The reason is because he's old enough to handle that. But I will not give him my car keys to drive. Do you understand what I mean? I won't. I won't travel or come for Bible study and leave him alone in the house to look after his younger ones. I won't do that. That is, there are degrees of power and authority that I will not give to him because he's yet small. Yet, I'm giving him more than I'm giving his younger brother, who I will not allow to carry anything that's of value because he will drop it and spoil it. Now, we said that that's the way it is with God and us, that if we know how to make those discriminations, how much more God in delegating his power to believers? I want us to understand something. That's what I'm trying to explain here. Christianity is not a joke. I think that's what I have preached this season. It is not a feel-good time that God has called us to. There were times when that was good, when they used Kirk Franklin to attract you to come to fellowship. Are you getting my point? And you got there and found that Christians too could dance. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And therefore, you didn't see any need to go to disco halls, since you could also dance in church anyway. Are you getting my point? There was a time, all right, in which the attractive thing about the gospel of faith was to tell you that God can give you honey if you want honey, that God could make you happy if you are sad. And these things are not lies. Please, I want to emphasize that. It is just that in life, there are things that have to do with childhood, and there are things that have to do with adulthood. The mistake a lot of us made, the way we received the teaching, was that people told us, or we heard it like that, that while we were children, God can allow us to handle the things that had to do with adulthood. So that the power of God will be delegated into our lives, even though we were children. All right? So that we will use it to, you know, start misbehaving. I know I said something, you know, some time ago. I heard myself saying it. I listened to a message that I preached. And really, really true. I remember it when it happened, when I was very young. You know, if you're at home, they serve you food. Do you understand? You know, you have a plate of food and there's meat in it, you know, African food. There's meat, there's fish. It tastes very nice. Is that okay? Yeah, but you know that there's a different taste when they haven't dipped the meat into the soup. You know what I'm saying? Still freshly fried. So when we're young those days, when they are cooking in the kitchen, we used to hang around, hoping that somebody will give you a piece of meat or a piece of fish before they throw it into the soup. So you could taste that freshly fried issue. And that had a very special taste. And I remember very well. I was very young then, but I still remember that I said to myself that when I grow up, I'm going to buy a fridge and load it with freshly fried meat and freshly fried fish. Because I couldn't understand, you know, why life should be lived differently. In fact, I didn't understand why my parents were not going for the things that they had the power and authority to collect and the rest of us had to beg for it. You know, I remember that a few days ago, again, and I realized now I live in my own house as a lord, you know what I mean? I'm the lord of the house. I bought the fridge. I released money for the buying of meat and fish, and hasn't crossed my mind to be going to the fridge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yoruba has a saying, that's a saying in Western Nigeria, is that the first money you give a child, all he knows to buy with it is, you know, bonds and guguru and groundnut and stuff like that. That's childhood. So when we were practicing faith, all right, childhood faith, that's why we thought that all there was to faith was how to get a new this, a new toy, a new that, and we'll come to church and brag our testimonies, all right, surround only the things that we have acquired. Do you get my point? That's childhood. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's just what? Childhood. And Paul said, the time comes in which we put away childish things. We redirect our emphasis in life. We look at what really matters in life, and we don't sit on those things that have to do just with the pleasure of our flesh. And believe me, you, as you grow as a Christian, you will not be able to tolerate it. If somebody were to be preaching to you every day and is trying to tell you that, look, life can just be sweet, 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 sweet. After a while, you are really going to get frustrated with life. Let me tell you something about life. Life without purpose is thoroughly frustrating. The reason why you don't, many of us don't think so yet, is because we have at least one small purpose. That is to come out of poverty. No, I'm telling you. You know, so while you're a young man, all right, you are still praying, reading, studying, you know, trying to get a job just to break out of that cycle of not having enough. But believe me, time will come. You can't help it. Listen, except you sin the special sin. Do you understand what I mean? You cannot help it. You will come into a place in life where you have all that you need. No, that's a matter of fact. You know, I've thought about it seriously. If you locate where you are supposed to be, no, not where now, but what you are supposed to be in life, you will discover that if you are truly a child of God, you can't be poor for life. It's not possible. God will bless you, you will increase. Listen to me. Look, let's leave this issue of trying to break through. Let's forget it. If you locate what you are supposed to be, and especially you find out where you are supposed to be, it's a matter of time. It is not possible. Is that okay? That you will not be comfortable in life. It is not possible. Look, don't preoccupy yourself with it. Don't. No matter how much you plan for wealth in life, you can be poor. Believe me. There's nothing you can do. All right? In fact, you know, I was thinking about the other day. A friend of mine and I were gisting. I said, look. Okay, I think it was in Canada. We were talking. I said, look, except you make a terrible investment. So that's what I want to bring out. That imagine that you went ahead and invested money in selling stuff at toll gates. That's about, some 10 years ago. Shortly after that, Obasanjo became president. He demolished all the toll gates. What are you going to do? So I thought about, there's really nothing. Nothing. All right, look at this stock market thing that happened in Nigeria recently. A lot of people made money from stock market. You know that? But for everybody that made money, maybe 20 felt like committing suicide. There were those who sold businesses. This one, that the new CBN governor is really riding it hard with this new with the banks. All the money that they lost, the banks lost money. Because they were willing to lend you money to buy stocks and you drop the certificate as collateral. Everything is not worth anything anymore. I'm not bringing out something. There's really nothing in life, all right, you can use to secure your future. Nothing. Hear it clearly. Don't just try. You can buy land and then when the government revokes all the sea of O's there and gives you what they assess as the value of the land as a compensation. Now, I'm just saying that one, by the way. The truth is that you don't need to focus on how do I secure my future more than to focus on God. And I'm explaining that if, as a child of God, you will not be poor in life. It is not possible, except you sin a special sin. You know what I mean? I don't want to discuss that now. I can tell you special sins that people can sin. And God will say, this one, you will never have enough money. You go and check Eli. You know God did it to Eli. So all your descendants are like, now begging for bread will be their portion. If you don't do the sin of Eli, all right? You know, one of the worst things you can do to yourself in life is to be a hypocrite. Hypocrites are usually punished publicly by God. People won't know why they are being punished. You call yourself a priest. You are sleeping with the women that attend to the tent. You know what I'm saying? You are in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are in what? Trouble. Just avoid those kind of things. And believe me, in life, it's not possible. You will succeed. Did I hear an amen? Now, this is what I'm making. So you see that those things are settled. And that's why Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. He said, leave that for those who don't know God. The fact is that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. Where confusion will come into people's lives is when they are successful in life and they have no idea of the purpose for which they are successful. Why am I here on earth? What am I trying to do with all this success I have acquired? I thank God in the last many months, God has taught me that the Holy Spirit has helped me to understand. Material things don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. You hear what I said? They don't mean anything. So if you have plenty of it, doesn't mean anything. If you don't have much of it, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. It's childhood Christianity for us to think the mark, all right, that we are doing well is that the abundance of things are being poured into our lives. That's childhood Christianity. It has to do with babyhood. And I'm encouraging us again today, let's forsake those things. They don't matter. One of the things you will do for yourself early in life, mark out your identity. Wherever you walk in life is not the question, but what exactly are you? You know, there's a difference. You ask somebody, what are you? Is it, I'm a banker. I say, what does that mean? It means I work in a bank. Now, everybody works in a bank. You know what I mean? Everybody works in a bank. The person who, the security man at the gate works in the bank. The manager works in a bank. The man in charge of their IT, the computer specialist there, works in the bank. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Whatever you do in life, one of the things you must do is to identify what it is that God has called you to contribute into life. Because life without purpose is very frustrating. The money that you are chasing today, I've prophesied it earlier, because it's a matter of fact, you will get so much of it, you will get tired of it. That's when you now wake up and say, what is it that really I am doing? I'm bringing out something here. So you see, childhood Christianity is when we focus on those money I have, in my faith gets me this, it doesn't get me that, and all of that. Paul said, there's a time where a man gets to, and he has to indeed, all right, wake up and go beyond those levels in life. Now, so what is the matter of maturity? I was talking about power with God, that is the one that Jesus referred to, and that's what we've been talking about. See, something happened. The power of God was demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much that Nicodemus came to him and came to ask him how that was. Please, I want you to understand something here. Nicodemus had a reason. It was because he noticed, all right? He noticed that the life of Jesus was different. He had command, now listen to this, of the power of God. That was what Nicodemus noticed. And that was why he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, God doesn't give that kind of power that he gave to Jesus Christ, all right, to children. I want you to understand that. He doesn't give it to children. Listen, I'm going to explain something, continuing from where we stopped last time, about this focus in life, what we are really going after. Now, God doesn't give that kind of power to children. Those days, you know, we thought, there was something I was reading, I think Andrew Murray was saying something. I was reading a book this afternoon, all right, by Andrew Murray. And he explained that every priest in Israel was born a priest. You know that? But he couldn't serve as a priest until he was consecrated into priesthood. Do you follow the point? You gave birth to him as a priest, but for him to serve as a priest, he had to be consecrated. He had to attain to a particular age, and certain ceremonies had to be performed for him to serve as a priest. Now, in the same manner, you may be born a child of God. As many as have received him, to them he gave the power to be called children of God. That's what he gave them, the birth as a priest. But the ability to serve as a priest is dependent upon what they do with their lives, so that they can get to a particular point in time that God will look and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Please, I hope you are following what I'm explaining. Please, try and follow me. Because one of the mistakes we make is that we don't know how to judge the experiences of our life. I said that before, and I want to just explain it again. You know, last time I said this, that what is it exactly that you are going after? All right? What is it that we are chasing in life? Are we running after what everybody else is running after? That is, the Bible talks about godliness. Paul says, some say it is a means of gain. But that godliness with contentment, all right, is a different matter. That, listen, godliness that we do so as to get rich is not godliness with contentment. One of the problems in this life, all right, which I want Christians to understand, is that we have misinterpreted the purpose of our Christianity. We think that the unbeliever uses crooked means to build a house. We too can build a house using righteous means. Now, that is actually true. You can get everything that the unbeliever gets in life using righteous means. Do you understand my point? But the reason why you are doing righteousness is not so that you can get what he's getting. Please, do you get my point? If I get there again, I hope you won't be angry. That is why, please, deliver yourself from giving to get. Christians give for giving's sake. Are you getting my point? Christians give because they are supposed to give. Christians give because God gave them money so that through that they can do his will, either in feeding themselves, in feeding their families, in helping the needy, in preaching the gospel, all right, in servicing the priesthood, whatever it is. God gave it to them, so they do the will of God. They are not trying to use the godliness so as to get something back. Please, do you understand my point? Now, I said something that to serve as a priest, you had to grow and be consecrated. Even though you were born a child of God, to function at like the Lord Jesus, so that one day a Nicodemus will look. Let me tell you something. I said this before to us here. That when Jesus cursed the tree, I don't think he was cursing the tree like trying to curse the tree. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That's what I think. I may be wrong, but that's what I think. I don't think he looked like, he said, this tree, I will show you who is in charge. Move back, move back. Peter, don't cross. I'm about to release a bolt. May not jam you by chance. All right? I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened was that he looked at a tree and passed a comment. I don't know whether you understand my point. Because I don't think he went out in the day attacking trees. Today is, you know, climate control, or we're going to do some horticulturing today. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. I think he actually was just going. I know the way it is. You're just going on the road. You just see a tree. Ah, let's harvest some mango and eat. And you look at the mango tree. Ah, come, there's nothing on this tree. And just pass a simple comment. The way you and I will pass a comment. Nonsense tree. You know, we do that all the time. And I just say, this tree, it no go better for you. You know that kind of thing? Now, that's what I think. That is what I think. I don't think it was that he just made up his mind that, this tree, you want to embarrass the man of God. I am going to show you that I have charge on this earth. The Bible says that be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. I have dominion. God has given. What that shout? It's a shout of man when God now power walking on his side. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yes. That's a shout of a man that doesn't have the power. So I believe that he just looked at the tree and essentially casually just said, nonsense tree. What is he doing here, Seth? This tree, no go better for you. And he left. I believe that if they had not come back that way, no, listen to this. If even though they came back that way, if Peter had not taken time out to point it across to him, I don't think he would have noticed. I think he would have just kept on going. It was Peter that said, hey, everybody slow down. Hold the phone, wait, slow down, press brake. James, you are driving too fast. We got to see this. He said what? He said, Master, look at what? That tree where you swear for yesterday, like we say, is dead. Then he now used that opportunity to begin to teach them. Let me bring out the point I'm trying to make here. That was the kind of thing that Nicodemus saw that made him come to ask questions. Do you get my point? That is, he had become a part of him. Listen, God doesn't give such powers to people who will be cursing drivers on the road as they are driving. You will kill the whole of Enugu. You know, you and I, we've done it now. As they are driving on the road, one driver just going to say, look at this stupid driver with his nonsense car. As you say it, if Jesus said that, that man's brain has just become twisted, and that car, look, the car will never be normal again in its life. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? But how did he get to that point? Please listen to this, though. How did he get to that point? It was that Jesus, God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now listen, that comment did not come because of the circumstances around his birth. That comment did not come, listen to this, because God looked at him as a child and he loved him. No. That comment came as a result of testing. That comment came as a result of the way he handled temptations. Let me say something to you about the scriptures. When the Bible says things, oftentimes it's just a window into a bigger picture. What I mean is this. If you heard that Jesus was tempted once, three temptations, don't think that's all the temptation that he faced. Those three temptations were just a summary of the problems that you and I will face every day in life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. John said these are the three things that are in the world. From the time he was young, he was facing the lust of the flesh, he was facing the lust of the eyes, and he was facing the pride of life. Those were the three things that he faced every day. When the temptations were shown to us, it was to let us know the kind of thing that he had to face up to that particular point in time. So when God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, it's not something, it wasn't out of favoritism. I just like this guy. I don't like this one. I like the other guy. No. It's more of, I have put all of them through tests, and this guy has come out on top. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm coming back to something. Remember I talked about our focus in life. The mistake we make is that we think that God is looking for the man who can make the biggest amount of money and then sponsor the gospel. I told you, let me tell you something. There's a principle called breaking of ranks in the Bible, all right? You need to understand it. If you, as a preacher, let's say Pastor Banky leaves preaching now and decides that, well, I'm going to make money to sponsor the gospel. Do you get what I'm saying? Every naira I give towards sponsorship of the gospel is a sin. Did you hear that? Every naira I acquire, which I say, now this is for sponsoring the gospel, as I give it, it is recorded in heaven as an act of iniquity. You can do what is right, and God says it's like filthy rags in my sight. However, if I got up and I preached the gospel, then it will be marked as an act of righteousness. That's why last time I emphasized that God didn't call you to save the world. He called you to do the will of the Father. The Father knows how he's saving the world. Are you getting my point? Because you that thought you were doing good in sponsoring the gospel, you were supposed to preach that gospel. Therefore, you have made yourself an avenue of sponsoring something that's not effective. That's why it's an act of iniquity. That's why in life, you have to be very, very careful. I'm talking about things that have to do with maturity. Look, this is how it is. Jesus went through all the tests of life, and the time came that God looked and said, "This is my beloved son." And then he committed something to him. What I'm bringing out is this. The test of your life, this is what I say we made a mistake, is that maybe you are in the midst of lack. Do you get my point? And you think that God is saying, now, let's do something so as to come out of this need and get more money. But God said, no, this is my, how do I say it now? This is my son who I'm trying to beloved. Good. And the process of beloving him is in how he handles the issue of lack of money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is, listen, I told you something last time, and I want to say it again. We used to think, and I'm so, oh God, those are childhood things. Now we're dealing with maturity. You know, maybe you go somewhere, they park cars outside. Say, identify the car of a child of God here. Listen, there is no way recorded in the scripture to identify the car of a child of God. None. See, Jesus always had money. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ. It's a very, look, was a normal person. When I say normal is that, he was not for me. He didn't use to demonstrate, you know. He never healed except people were sick. Do you get my point? He won't go and just make somebody sick so as to heal him so he can show that insabi. When he told Peter to go and fish so as to get money, you know, you want to know the truth? He said, Peter, how much is it with the O? Thanks for putting us in trouble. Peter said, the certain amount. You get for there? He said, Master. No, Judas, you know. Last week was accounting there, and Judas claimed that the last crusade finished the whole money. And Jesus, well, he didn't have a purse with him, all right? He didn't have a money belt. So he looked around and said, okay, all right, good. You know what you're going to do? To settle this debt immediately, take a hook. Quickly go and fish. You will catch a fish. It has something in its mouth. Listen to me. Oh God, hear this. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God has given you enough resources to solve all the problems you have today. Listen, look into your life very well. If you have needs you can't meet, the truth, you want to hear this, is that you have identified a need you really don't have, or you have not looked to find out where God put the resources. God doesn't lie. I mean, a lot of the needs in your life were generated by you. God didn't send it into your life. Did you hear what I said? Look, you know the reason why America and the rest of the world are in trouble now? Because they learned to generate needs they didn't have. They learned it. Generate needs you don't have. So a young man leaves school, or he's just working. And he has 3 credit cards. You know what they call credit cards? People don't understand. It means I don't have money. Pay for me, I pay you later. That's what is called a credit card. And the credit card companies are wicked lenders. You know the interest rate on those things? They're supposed to be short-term loans. Their interest rates can hit 40% per annum. No, I'm not joking about that. I'm serious. I'm not talking Nigeria and America. Yeah. You know why? They expected it to pay back within a month or two. And in fact, they don't charge you anything if you pay back within a month. You buy something for $500. Before 30 days, you've paid back the $500. You don't get charged. But like Joyce Meyer said, they know most people don't pay. I think 70% of people don't pay within their agreed time. You hear them, buy now, pay next year. 70% won't pay next year. They tell you no interest until next year. What they don't tell you is that when you don't pay until that next year, the interest starts counting today, not next year. This is why evil. In fact, like my friend Peter called me the other day from London. He said, Banky, the thing say Nigerians love money. He said, you never see a Yoruba man, we like money. He said, those guys love money more than Nigerians. Anyway, let me not digress. The point is that people get into those kind of troubles most of the time because they have needs that they generated themselves. You have a 21-inch tube television. No, it's not enough. Ever since you visited your friend and you saw his 72-inch plasma TV on the wall, your soul lost peace since that day. And of course, there are Satans walking around that want to put you in bondage. So they walk up to you and say, bonanza, bonanza. Sale, sale. I've never seen Oyinbo shop we not get sale. Recommended retail price. Manufacturers recommended retail price, $750. Our price, $350. Now be thief. Help my fellow servant, how are you? Now, what I'm trying to explain, you now go and take it. Then, of course, there are many Satans along the line. That is the first level of Satan. Another agent of Satan along the line is when you're a Christian. He's called preacher. There are some preachers like that. Credit card canceling miracle. Your credit card debt shall vanish today. Amen. Hey, God. Those who have sense know that this is now why you. Then why are you deceiving people now? You didn't ask the man, how did he enter into debt? The television on his wall. Tell him to go and sell it. All his debts will vanish. He's watching a 72-inch plasma TV. He can't afford. Look, I'm digressing. Let me sit on my message. Let me sit on my message. Let me sit there. So Jesus, all right, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When he sent Peter to go and get that fish and that money, believe me, there was no money on them then. That was the reason. He wasn't trying to do James Bond. The fact was that there was no money on them. I'm going to bring out something. Every situation in your life, is that okay? God is not trying to compete with who's the believer, who's the unbeliever. What he's developing in you, are you hearing me? Is different from what he's developing in the unbeliever. The situations of your life, all right, are the very things he's using to bring forth sonship out of you. That's what I'm going to explain. Where was Joseph? Prison. According to our gospel these days, why should you go to jail? It is not that the man went to jail that is the problem, or that the matter. The matter was that he went to jail unjustly. I don't know whether I get the point. What is the mark of a child of a covenant? Is that when we come to visit you in prison, he say, bro, they say money lost. He said, yes, now so. Now for your hand, he said, I swear by Almighty God, it's not. So this your jailness today, you did not buy it with your own hands. He said, no. Are you sure? Yes. So we join hands and give God thanks and pray that you be released. All right? And we leave. For every day you stay in that place, believe me, is the will of God. The one that's not the will of God is this. Bro, what did happen? It wasn't my fault, though. The man said, I should just hold the money for him small. That I can be taking 10%. You know, did you not know it was stolen? Well, we felt we know when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse of all unrighteousness. Pastor, look, I won't lie to you, Pastor. Actually, as soon as I collected the money, the first 20%, all right, you know, God wanted 10. I brought 20. You can't remember that particular day that there was this kind of check. Yes, it was that money. Are you getting my point? That is the one that is the will of Satan. Do you get my point? Even that one said, God can work out his will in your life through that jail experience. As long as you repent. In fact, there was one I saw once, I think it was Discovery Channel, or National Geographic. If I want some pastors in America. America is a nice country. I love that country. These pastors were collecting money from church members that God is going to bless them one day. People were clearing their life savings and dumping. They say, as you give this money, God will increase that. You know, they at the point that they came to invest in, is it diamond mine in Sierra Leone or something? They show clips of it. Clips of it. Say some people are giving up. God is about to soon bless us. They were just collecting everybody's retirement, everything, collecting everything. Finally, one day, FBI said, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. Where the money? They don't even know. The money don't finish. The boys don't spend the thing anyhow. I mean, they claim that people gave willingly. No, if you heard the story, you were selling an investment. So God just collected all of them, rounded them up, and put them in jail. They are there till today. All of them are still in prison as we are talking. And they phoned one of the men to make that program. And he said that he did what was best for the people of God and all of that. He said, bro, never repent. This bro, he never repent. Jim Baker repented. 5 years he was out of the place. This one, we rot in jail. He has not repented. No, this one hasn't repented. I want to explain. That listen, this is the believer's life, like Joseph. Okay, I'm in prison now. Do you understand my point? It is not that I'm inferior to the unbelievers walking free. But what God is using prison to birth in my life, he can never imagine it in 50 generations. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? What God is using, the fact that I don't have a job right now to birth in my life, the unbeliever that works 15 jobs at a time can never achieve it. Do you follow the point? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want to commit power into his hands so that if he were to casually, all right, maybe he goes back into business and looks at the filling station and says, why are you people cheating people? All these are useless pumps when they take cheat people. That's it. All the pumps start malfunctioning after that day. And one of his co-workers will say, okay, those pumps you called useless. You know, they are really useless. That's the way it will come. They may not stop you like Peter and say, the tree you call cursed has died. Some of you up will come and say, okay, you know that place we came last time and we bought fuel. And you said, all these, they are useless pumps. So since that day, that man has changed pumps 10 times. None of them is working properly. Now, please, I hope you are following the point I'm making here. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. All right? That what God is trying to do, before we go around whining, how come the unbeliever, how come believer is... No, please, get my point. What God is doing in your life is different from what he's doing in somebody else's life. How many people were in jail when Joseph was in jail? I think it was only Joseph, right? No, think about it. Joseph was the only person in jail there. Oh, he wasn't the only one. All right, good. So there were many people in prison. Next question. All of them were in jail justly. All the cases were well investigated. Joseph was not the only person that was in prison. That's the point I want you to understand. But how many of them came out and became prime minister in Egypt? I'll tell you, only Joseph that we know of. Do you understand the point? What's the point I'm making? There were many people who never went to prison and we never saw again. That is, we didn't know the story of their lives, nothing. All we know about Potiphar is that Joseph used to work for him and he married a nonsense wife. That's all we know about Potiphar. He didn't go to jail, his life didn't amount to anything. So Christianity is not that I never went to jail. I said that, look, the Christianity is that I didn't go to jail because indeed I attempted to sleep with Mrs. Potiphar. That's Christianity. That my arrival there was based on lies. Peter said it's better to suffer unjustly. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Listen, let me tell you something. This is a focus. I said I'll continue today. What is the focus of our lives? A problem we have in contemporary Christianity is that we have made godliness look as if it's a source of gain. And that's what I want you to understand. Godliness is so that God can look at you and say, this is my beloved son. And I'm saying that there is what is godly in every situation of life. That is your job as a believer, to identify that which is godly in every situation of life. Listen, you can say, all my mates entered school 2 years ago, or they got jobs 2 years ago. Listen, those 2 years of not getting job, there is what is godly to do. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. Look, Christianity, I told you something last time, let me say it again. Today is actually like a recap of everything I've said, so we can bring it to a conclusion. What we have come to in Christianity is not to play and be happy. Do you understand my point? For me, I said it from time. This, for me, is what is important. Because, let me say it again. People are not the same in the eyes of God. I said all the time, when Job was going to be tempted, they killed his servants, and it was called temptation for Job. The man not get wife. Does he not have children? Or the servant, did they not have children? Yet, their death was judged a temptation for Job. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. David sinned, and what happened to the whole of Israel? 70,000 men perished. Even David had to cry and say, God, Abba, Abba, what did they do? The David that sinned, all he was doing was praying. Finally, God stopped killing people as forgiveness for David. No, I don't. When God stopped killing people, it was because he had forgiven David. So if David had not been forgiven, he would keep on killing other people. So I said to myself long ago when I discovered this, it will never happen that we die because of somebody else's sin. Never. When I want to die, let it be that I sinned. And God said, Banky, because of this thing you have done, I will punish you so much, people will learn lesson from this. I say, yes, sir. Maybe now you go punish, not the devil. It is you. No problem. You know, that's what they tell David. They say, David, choose. There are three punishments you will choose from. All right? 3 years of famine, 3 years in the hands of your 3 months in the hands of your enemy, and 3 days in the hands of God. And the guy looked and said, God is merciful. And he was right. Now, what I'm trying to explain, I made up my mind, I said, no, God, if you want to punish me, let it be because of my sin. Let it be because of my walk with you. Let it be because you want to achieve something in my life, not because you want to achieve something in somebody else's life. One day they told me one man of God was going somewhere. He decided to go. This is the way the story was told to me. So he wanted to go and impress the people he was going to meet. Are you getting me? So he took the choice men in his church. The big men. The rich men. The heavy men. And they went on an entourage. On the road, they had an accident. Many of the big men died. He was wounded small and he survived. When I heard the story, I shook my head. I said, look at these servants of Job. No, I'm serious. It sounds funny, but that's exactly what happened. I said, look at these servants of Job. Now, man, now he will go home and go and say, God, what happened? God said, I did not send you on the journey. You have been going on journeys that are not my journey. And they will repent. I repent. Men with wives and children are dead. One man is repenting. I saw, I said, God, hey, you want to kill me? You're going to kill me because of my sin. You're not going to use me to tempt somebody else. No, in Jesus' name, you won't do that. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. What kind of nonsense play is that one? No, I'm telling you, no. I made up my in life, I must be important. One day my wife said something. She didn't know it was a compliment. She looked at me and said, they say people backslide. She said, do you know, it never crosses my mind that you can backslide. He said, you know what the problem? I don't know where you are sliding to. That is what is behind that you are backing into. He said, oh, since I knew you, this is the only thing I know about you. I said, very good. That's a compliment. Because, no, really, my own God, please, surround me totally. Listen, I said it before. Oh, God, I wish you would get my point. I'm not taking faith away from you. I'll tell you something. I'd rather be poor and trek into eternal life than God to be slapping me to tempt somebody else. No, that one I won't take. God, do anything you want, but please, you are not going to punish me as temptation for somebody else. Men are not the same with God. They are not the same. Listen, what some of us like to practice is to go and, I hear all kinds of nonsense. I'm sorry to say this. Some people say, our Father in the Lord, He is the one that because of Him, God is blessed. I never hear such things. I say, well, so when God wants to punish you, you're in trouble. No, there are statements you don't hear from my mouth. There are things. There are people I honor. You hear me say, this man has been a blessing. I respect him. There are things I'm careful to say. Somebody's a cover over my head. You will never, till I die, hear it from my mouth. Never. Don't cover me, my friend. Jesus covers my head. If I want to die, let me die for his sake. Not because you went to go and take somebody else's wife. All of us covering under you were in trouble. Christians are jokers. See them all over the place, just cracking jokes. I don't look at it. Some people don't know what they are saying. They don't know what they are saying. The head of every man is Christ. You better believe it that I leave that one there. Listen, I'm your teacher. Amen. I pray for you. Amen. Not the cover over your head. Better forget that idea. No, forget that idea. If you had it now, shelve it. Are you getting shelve it? Obey God. Oh God, please. I pray that you realize that you and everybody else on earth you have the same potentials as far as God is concerned. What a lot of us like to do, is that okay? Is to hide behind somebody who has obeyed God to a certain limit. We like to hide. Very common amongst Pentecostals these days. As I would, oh God, if I say this, you have assumed I'm being critical, so let me be careful. One word that Christians use so much, it started as a good word, but it's almost becoming a cultic word, is the word Papa. Father. There was a reason why Jesus used to say, don't call any man Father. You know, he told the disciples. There was a reason. People won't obey God. You understand my point? They won't get to know God personally. They'll be hiding behind somebody else's obedience. Let me tell you something. Satan is very, very smart. He's waiting. Because that man is going to disobey one day. then he will jump through that gap because he can't touch the guy. It's on your head. It's coming to start. So I said to God, and I'm asking you to say the same thing as you pray today. Say, dear Lord, me, I must be special before you. You must know me by name. But you see, those things, I said that when God said, I said before you life and death, choose life that you may live. You know, what he was saying to them, he said, how do you choose life? You choose life by obeying these commandments that I'm commanding you today. You don't just choose life because you say, I choose life. There are three things that are in the world. Those are the three temptations of Jesus Christ you saw. And those were not the only times he was tempted. His whole life was full of temptation. And I said something to us at the last time or the time before that. I said, look, the choices you make in life that makes you important as far as God is concerned is not whether should I steal or should I not steal. Are you following the point? No. That one is good. It's basic. It's fundamental. That's the, like I said, the baby level of Christianity. Real maturity is yes. Lot and Abraham will not have issues. My name is Abraham. I brought my nephew Lot with me. What do I do? Do I seize what is mine or willingly let it go? You know, let me tell you something. You know, you've heard me, because these are issues that we have these days in Christianity. Christianity, listen, I don't want to hear any rubbish testimony about money. That doesn't have a story to tell about how it came. I don't know. There's a reason why I'm trying to say that. You know the way we jump around? Let me tell you, this is a serious temptation of young men and young women. You know the way we jump around these days from one job to the other? You know the way we do it? Most people who make those jumps, are you getting my point? They are jumping out of the will of God. And let me tell you something. The reason, please hear what I'm trying to say clearly. Temptations are tempting. That's why they are called temptations. And that's why men are tempted by them. Did you hear what I said? Temptations are what? They are tempting. So the fact that you followed what you wanted to do does not mean you did what is right. You can testify from now till thy kingdom come. Listen, Satan won't bait you out except he has something to show. Unfortunately, what we want to testify about are the baits of Satan that we have beaten. Men don't know anything about faithfulness. No, people don't. And they say, look, man, life, country is hard. Country is hard. You say you have been lawyer. Look, just you sneak away. You tell all kind of like they finish training you in a particular place. 3 months intensive training cost the company maybe 200,000 naira to train you. 2 weeks later, you get another job. They double your salary. Idiot, you take it. And you take it. And you now go to church. Pastor, have a testimony. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah for me, Joe. Isn't God good in my life? You know, last week, when Pastor was saying that this year we will experience breakthrough, I did not know my own would come so quickly. I just got a new job where they have tripled my salary. You never told us. You have not. You couldn't even tell the people that invested in you. Do you get my point? That you are going. As far as they are concerned, right now, your mother is sick and you travel to go and look after her. And you intend to send them a resignation letter from there. They don't know you are in town rejoicing. The Lord is good. Let me tell you, do people who fall for temptation fall for what they can testify about? I hope you know. It is sweet. Did you hear what I said? It is really what? Sweet. But we don't understand that to God, loyalty, alright, and faithfulness is more important than the offering you brought out of the tripled salary. That's why he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm not remembering something. Listen, what God uses, you see, it is not now, oh my God. You know, I like to say this, time flies faster than we can imagine. I remember in 1985, when I entered University of Benin to study medicine, 6 years was like eternity. I remember my friends, people like Mui, they looked at me, he was in microbiology. He said, you mean you are going to be in this school for 6 years? Oh boy. You don't old, though. You go old for this place. Oh. And we actually felt bad. Like, who sent me? Come study this subject. 6 years look like forever. For your information, this boy here is graduating from school now. Tokwe was born when I was in second year. I remember. Can you imagine? Now he's graduating from school. Children born when I graduated from medical school. You know the interesting part? They are now in medical school. That's after I graduated. Now, listen. Time flies so fast. That's what I'm trying to explain. I look at my wife sometimes and say, so you mean for 10 years I have married you? No, it's almost unbelievable. December this year, it will be 10 years that I've been married. I look at it like, what? This is hard to believe. What am I going to explain? Time flies very fast. Don't be content with testimonies that last only 2 months. That's what I'm going to explain. A time will come. Oh, God. Oh, God. This message of today, you will remember it one day, and you will be telling your friends that was 20 years ago. What we are going for, all right, is that what will God say about you in 20 years' time? Not the testimony you give over 2-3 weeks. Some things are more precious than gold. Stop jumping around because of money. Some things are what? More precious than gold. Believe me. What we are going for in Christianity is it's not those childish baby things. That's what I want to explain. We want to get to a point. You know, we all grumble and whine. I told you, for 1 million people can talk, and God, if he could sleep, he will fall asleep. And believe me, I have seen prayer meetings that if everybody is following the guy who's holding the microphone, I'm sure God is not hearing them. You can be 1 million gathered in a place. It doesn't mean God is hearing. What am I going to explain? What God is looking for is that single person who will look up one day and say, this iniquity is too much. There will be no rain or dew in this land until I say so. And God will say, because you said so, fine. Such people, God doesn't hand power to them because they testified about food and bread. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, real Christianity is that you actually totally lay down your life for God. There's a scripture I want us to read. The book of Luke chapter 14. No, chapter 9. We read it last time. I want to quote something there from the Amplified Bible. From verse 18, you know, he said, Jesus said, what did the multitude say that I am? Then they said what he was. Then from verse 23, he's now said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Everybody say daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. I want to read verses 24 and 25 before I say what I want to say. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Or King James says his own soul. Now, what am I saying here? I like how Amplified says something about denying himself. Among the things he said, let him lose sight of his own interests. You hear what I said? That is, let him lose sight of his own interests. People say something all the time. You hear that all the time. The Nigerians go to churches a lot. How come the country is not better? I dare to say, they go to churches. Churches don't go into them. You understand my point? The word of God does not enter them. More importantly, when we gather most of the times, you have been guilty. Me too have been guilty. What do we gather for? To focus on ourselves. Do you understand my point? Listen to me. That is why we have not changed. That's why we have not changed. Because what puts power to change situations, what puts the power of God into our lives, is when we are able to gather and we don't think about ourselves. Or we have not come for our own sake. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you take life, God gives you an opportunity, and all you are thinking about is, what am I going to use this time, this opportunity to impart into the lives of people? Or like we say, you are a Christian. How will every move I make advance the knowledge of Christ? Are you getting my point? How will every move? Because let me give you an example. If somebody says that they praise the Lord, now finally I have gotten my visa to America, you know, like, hey, the Lord is good. I ask a simple question. What is good about the Lord that you got a visa to America? No, I'm asking. No, think about it for a second. Visas to places are good, though. Do you get my point? David Livingstone and Co. They took visas to come to Nigeria. If you know, you understand what I'm going to explain. All right, so I'm not talking about... But the question is that, what is it that is good? I have seen people, Christians, at least I went to church. This man was in a big church, one of the pastors in the church. That's when I was in Lagos. And then happened to be a colleague, senior to me, in the hospital. So one day, he... Another lady that went to the same to that same church and I were all talking. And he was talking about, very soon this will happen. I'm leaving your country for you. I remember that comment. I know that I was disappointed. Now, I had no problem with him leaving the country. But he's a surgeon. He was going to advance his studies abroad and all of that. But it was the way he said, hey, I'm leaving your country for you. And when we get to church, he's the one that will take testimonies. And it was in a church that was known for preaching faith. And I looked like, wait, what are we doing here? Are we playing? Why? Because, of course, it was true. All we were being paid in a month was, was small money. It was very small, 6,000 naira a month. That was what we earned for being resident doctors, junior resident doctors then. But like I said, told you earlier, faith is not that I use my, you know, that I had the ability to grab bigger money or run to places where things are better. That the mark of Christianity is I lost sight of myself. And I say, even though I am poor in this land would not say they did not hear that I came. Are you getting my point? It is easy for us to sit down and be pointing outside. Governor, government, you know, president. It's very, very easy. Ask yourself, last time you were in church, all the things you have been doing, praying about, what has it been? Have you really lost sight of... Look, because Christianity has said, look, listen to me. Jesus said it clearly. It is better to trek into eternal life. You know that's what he said? He said, if your eye is offending you, remove it. And then I'm putting it now. If your financial eye is disturbing you, yank it off. So do you understand what I'm going to explain? That I don't have a car to drive. It's better that I trek into eternal life. Let the earth know that I poured the life of God for them to experience. He said, let him lose sight of himself. I said, look, that's the higher goal of Christianity. It's not my ambition. Listen, there's a prayer you will pray because it said daily. You have to pray daily. The direction I'm facing in life, is that the direction you want me to face? When people are praying about the will of God a lot of time, what are we saying about the will of God? What we mean is that because we have been taught that the will of God is sweet. But I like Paul. And anybody who doesn't want to understand what Paul is saying just deliberately is closing his eyes. And that's why he said you can't see it. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. See what he called the will of God for his own life. He said in fastings. People think that he talked about we went on a fast. No. When Paul said in fastings, what he meant was that in no food to eat. In perils. In beatings. When we move around with the fear of our lives, that somebody's going to waylay us and kill us. But at the end of the day, what did he say? He said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. Why? Because I want to finish the work that the God that sent me, all right, commanded that I should finish. Listen, I told you this is not childhood Christianity we are preaching. It's not. It's seriousness. One of the things I hate about people who sow seeds to get, you know, I'm their enemy. One of the things I dislike about it, that go and ask them what they are sowing seeds for. Let me tell you how to sow real seeds. The Bible said that he that sows ministers seed to the sower and bread for food shall both multiply and supply your seed what? For sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What did he say? He multiplies, he supplies and multiplies what? Your seed for sowing. That is real sowing of seed. Alright? Is that I have more seed to sow. This is how to sow seed. He said, Lord, This is a work that needs to be done. Pastor said it will cost 3.5 million. We need to evangelize this district. Or we need to build this orphanage. Or we need to do this for this school, whatever it is. Lord, you know I don't have 3.5 million. I don't even have 3.5 thousand. What I have, Lord, is this 500 naira, which was supposed to be my food for today. Therefore, Lord, I give this money towards the completion of this work. Oh God, I wish you would understand this. That kind of spirit will attract the rest of the money from wherever is hidden. That's seed sowing. That is, God multiplies seed for sowing and increase. See, that is, what God is multiplying, the fruit of my seed sowing is the completion of the work, not my stomach. This is the satanic way we sow. This 500 naira, God, if you not pay back and I catch you. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. Lord, now you are the borrow this money as I drop and sow. Yes, that's how the world taught us to sow. We have not lost sight of ourselves. As a godliness with contentment, I'll tell you what it means. It means that whatever I find myself in as a situation after doing the act of godliness, I'm ready to stay there, even though God doesn't show up. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. When I stand before Nebuchadnezzar and say, I won't bow to your image, what it means is that if you like, kill me, I will die in peace. That's godliness with contentment. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's godliness with contentment. That no, the name of my God must be honored. That even in my death, people will say, these people love their God so much, they won't deny him even while they are dying. It is not, God, I won't bow. Don't forget to quickly deliver. I will not bow. But Baba God, please, oh, this thing is hot. Don't forget. Oh. I will not bow inside your heart. God, please, quick now. We are getting too close to the fire. No, that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we do. The Bible says they overcame him by not loving their lives, even unto what? Death. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I didn't come here today to massage your ego and make you feel happy. I want you to decide whether I really want to go to church and you want to stay at home. You can stay at home and be rich. I hope you know that Bill Gates doesn't go to church on Sundays. He says only men who don't have anything to do go to church on Sunday. And I don't blame him, actually. All you need to do is watch what pastors put on TV, especially in America. Even if I were him, I wouldn't go to church. Yeah? What are you trying to do? Why should I go? You have not made a demand on purpose for my life. You haven't made a demand on my being grateful to God. You have told me to just come so that God might bless me. The one I'm living in, $4 billion a year in dividends. What do you call that? What do you call that? That is blessing. That is blessing. He said, is it hell you want to send us to? We'll buy a conditioner. $4 billion, enough air conditioner to cool the place. Hey, why are you threatening me? I mean, come on. You don't blame the man. Why should he go to church? You preach what I call the gospel of poverty. You know my gospel of poverty? It's only fit for the ears of people who are poor. That's what I mean by gospel of poverty. So a rich man hears, he has no need for your God. I see it all the time. We preach as if the rich man shouldn't come to church. Because all our gods can do is multiply our money. Listen to me, this Nigeria way. There are those that every day they go home, they pocket 2 million naira. And they are not sweating. They are not lying. They are not cheating. They are not stealing. There are those who do legitimate business. One man was telling me one day that there was one lady who come to his particular church. The day she dropped the tithes in the offering basket, the whole church office ended job for the day. That is the office. They settled down and said, what's going on, please? What is that? They pulled it out, 6 million naira, and she was dropping it every month. Look, I tell my friends when I'm at work, if you want to serve God, serve God. Because if it's because of money you want to serve him, you will soon be discouraged. You will see what Satan can do that God doesn't do for people. Did you hear what I said? you will see what Satan can do that God really doesn't bother doing for people. We'll settle down. Because, you see, I work among serious professionals. Not by serious professionals. When I settle down, if you enter my office, if you see me sit down, somebody comes and says, good morning, sir. That man is a doctor of maybe 12 years of experience that's telling me, good morning, sir. They are my residents. That's the kind of people that I have around me every day. So when we are discussing, all right? And you see what some politicians or businessmen do with money in Nigeria, you will be discouraged. You won't want to work. If the only reason why you're working, do you get what I'm saying? Is because of money. You will be discouraged. So I tell them, do good for good doing sake. There are places where I work. I tell my students when I'm giving lectures, certain places. I say, let's tell the truth. If it's because of money, I shouldn't teach you people. Yeah, it's a matter of fact. Listen, that's the message I preach to people, and I want Christians to understand it. Anyone who wants to walk with God should get ready. God does not always add to people. Sometimes he takes away from them. And he does not always promise reward on this earth for such taking away. I don't have to tell you that Paul did not build a house. Do I need to tell you? He had a few houses here and there, usually in Roman prisons. But he said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. I've told you are very lucky, you know what I mean, lucky in quotes now, that you are hearing some gospel while you are young. So please, it is time to trek with pride. So I'm walking now, I'm confessing my car is coming. Whether you confess it or not, believe me, it's going to come. Did I hear an amen? Amen? Whether you confess it or not, your husband will come, wife will come, children will come. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
So use your mouth to do things that are more important than using your car, or husband, you know, confessing on things that God says you don't even focus on. Is it crazy? And let me tell you something about God. Everybody can learn faith. I say, with my faith, I got this. My faith, I got that. Those that God will really lift up and put spiritual power into their hands are those that will say, God, even though you don't give me anything, I will still love you. I will still serve you. And they're not saying it because they hear somebody else say it. That they really mean it. That for them, serving God in itself is such a beautiful thing. You know, the disciples, when they whipped them for preaching, they went home rejoicing. Say, hey, Peter, as that cane land, I said, no, let Jesus go cross. Me too, I go small. He said, your back cut? May I check? Nah, they not beat you. Check my own. See, as the thing break. See, my cross is strong past your own. That is, the Bible said they went home rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for this gospel's sake. I told you, you want to go far in life? Let nobody tell you that take the whole world and give me Jesus. It's an Old Testament song. Believe me, it's a current song that only those who God will look at and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. They are the only ones that can sing that song. Material things are to be used. Do you understand my point? As they come, they serve a purpose, they go. It does not measure spirituality. Listen, they don't measure blessing. And get your eyes off them. Get up and decide, do I want to serve God? Or I want to play the kind of funny play we play these days. I said something to us last time, let me say it again. Every move of God, at least I know about Nigeria, has a message that he brought. Let's not lose one because of another. Do you understand my point? We should take all of them and add them together. He said, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. He said, the one that is pleasing to God will come forth with both of them. The message of holiness brought a message. Do you get my point? It brought a message of consecration. You don't have to look like a deeper life man. All deeper life, whether deeper life man or Christ Embassy man, apart from Jericho, they look alike. So let's forget that. It's deeper life woman we should be talking about. You don't have to look like deeper life woman for you to get the message of holiness. Are you getting my point? And let me say this again. Even though you look like a deeper life man or woman, it does not mean you have not yet imbibed the message of prosperity. Did you hear what I said? True prosperity is not what you appear like. Rogues drive cars. What are you talking about? Armed robbers build big houses. What are we talking about? True prosperity is not what is on you, what we can see. I told you before, the most prosperous men, materially speaking, on the earth, according to God's calculation, they are not on Forbes' list. It's Forbes that knows how he calculates his own. There's a time they said, well, they couldn't calculate how rich anybody in Africa was. Why? Because of stock market. We didn't have proper stock market and proper this one. Finally, they calculated and said that Dangote is one of the richest men, the richest man in Africa. And some people looked and said, is it according to the valuation of, the whole thing has come down. I wonder where they place him now. I'm not explaining that the man that's really prosperous may not look like that outside. The message of holiness came with something. We must not lose it. That's what I'm taking us back to. The message of faith came with something. We mustn't throw it away. We must just know how to use it properly. Indeed, it is not God's perfect will that his children should be sick. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Indeed, it's not God's perfect will that his children should be in lack. But we say we endure all things. That's another thing about consecration we must understand. Faith teaches us some things. Prosperity teaches us some certain things. In my book, The Grace to Prosper, the book will soon come out, all right? I describe there what I call the vow of poverty. I've taught us here before. Christians say, no, I can never take the vow of poverty. I say, it's because you don't know the meaning of the vow of poverty. If you know what it means to take a vow of poverty, you rush down to your knees now and be taking it. Because the vow of poverty does not mean that I will not have anything in life. It just means that I will not be attached to anything. Anything that comes is for use. I use it for the purpose that God sent it, and I let it go. I can have a billion naira today, and tomorrow I don't have a dime. I still don't change. Every message has something. If you are going to serve God and be effective in your generation for Christ, you will take hold of all the messages. Consecration, message of holiness, you take it. The message of faith and prosperity, you take it. The message of divine healing, you take it. You take all of them, wrap them together, put them in your heart, and you will see that one day, one Nicodemus will call you. Are you hearing my point? One Nicodemus will show up one day. You say, Oga, they won't say master then, because you are not a man with disciples following you about. It's your worker that will say, sir, I have noticed that 5 economic downturns have come and gone. These companies has never gone down. We have only worked stronger. What amazes me, sir, is that any company you look at and say those people are not good people, they shouldn't survive. They usually die within a month. You'll be saying that, what? It happened like that? He said, sir, let me tell you. Our meeting 6 years ago, you explained that company ABCZ, they were doing this and you think this is wrong and companies like that should be closed down by the federal government. 3 days after, policemen went there, closed the doors and said the appeal court just read the ruling that said this and this and this and that. 3 years ago, you said this about this company, sir. It was exactly 4 weeks after you spoke that the MD died suddenly and the two wives began to fight over the company. And then look at what happened. And then say, wait, our God have not finished. He will reel forth to you. And then you will look at him and say, now, wow, have faith in God. See, those things of Jesus Christ, they are real. They are real. You don't have to be a prophet to operate like that. Then that your Nicodemus will ask you. The way we have looked at you, you are a CEO come from above. For no one can run a company the way you have done it. And you will look at him and say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is how you advance the gospel of Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? Until you don't count your life as dear unto yourself. God didn't send Jesus to this earth to come and give you fine share too. I hope what I'm saying is clear. The Hummer you wanted to die for last year, the company died. You know that? GM stopped producing Hummer. And then they went bankrupt. Shaved off all the excess luggage you were believing God for. Do you understand my point? Who is here this evening that wants to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's bow down our heads and begin to pray. Just tell him, Lord, I really want to serve you. I want to have power with you. I want my life to count for you. You won't kill me to tempt somebody else. I refuse that. You won't scatter my life as a temptation to somebody. You are the leader. You are the cover. You are the God over my head. I connect directly with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. I want my life to count for you. Lord, I want my life to count for you. I know you will give me food. You said I shouldn't worry about it. I know you will give me water. You said I shouldn't care about those things. You said everything that I may ever need, that one you have already provided. My bread, you said, will be sure. So I'm not worried about those things. But I want my life to count for you. Show me my identity. Say, Lord, you said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. Lord, what did you know me to be? You said to Jeremiah, I ordained you to be a prophet. Lord, what have you ordained me to be? Say, Lord, pour your spirit upon me that I might suffer with Christ where I need to. Church, I want you to understand something. When Stephen was being stoned, he didn't feel the pain. I can tell you that. What was he seeing? He was looking up and beholding the glory and seeing Jesus seated on the right hand of God, or at that point standing, because Stephen maintained his testimony in the face of persecution, in the face of adversity. Consecrate your life again to God. Say, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. I don't want to marry the woman of my dreams. I want to marry the woman of purpose. The woman that you said would do me good in serving you. I don't want to marry the husband of my dreams. Dreams that were formed by home movies and romance novels. I want to marry the husband who together we will serve you. I don't want the job of my dreams. I want the job that you ordained that I should have, that I might serve your purpose in it. I don't care whether the road in the country is good or it is bad. Wide like American roads or narrow like the streets in my village. For me, the most important thing that I'm located where your spirit, your life in me will be manifested for the world to be blessed by it. Say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you again. Take my hand, use it. Take my legs, use them. Take my heart, use it. Take the whole of me, Father God, and use my life for your purpose. That is the most important thing to me. This is one thing I seek.